May the words of my heart be pleasing to you, our God, our Redeemer. When you're a parent of a toddler, you learn how to get creative. Out of sheer desperation for peace and sanity, a diaper becomes a napkin, paper cups become flying spaceships. Just the other day in the grocery store, I must have looked like a bird regurgitating its food for its chick as I vigorously cut grapes in half with my teeth in the checkout line and placed them, along with a little bit of saliva, into my screaming, starving child's hand. Desperate times, people, desperate times. So as a parent, I read this gospel passage in John, and I do understand that pressure to do something. Philip's reaction is classic, of course, when he hears that Jesus expects to provide a meal. Look at all these people. There's 5,000 of them. What do you mean we have to feed them? How would we ever pay for this? Then Andrew responds, now, through my new parent lens, I have come to only one conclusion. Andrew's desperate scanning of the crowd for food can only lead me to assume that he has to be the parent of a hangry toddler. In my imagination, when Andrew spots a kid carrying some food, this kid is like 1,000 yards away, but Andrew's desperate eagle-eye parent vision sees him anyways. There's a lad over there that has 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, he says, but what good could this do? Then Jesus is like, friends, I've got this idea. All jokes and alternative interpretations aside, there are so many important things we need to learn from this passage and specifically this parable. The importance of feeding people, the importance of food itself, the art of the miracles, the power of a sharing economy. But the thing that struck me most this week was about God's creativity. And not just that, but how God always starts with something small and seemingly insignificant. As Nadia Boltz-Weber says, never once did Jesus say, the kingdom of heaven is like a Fortune 500 company with super happy investors. On the contrary, the kingdom is always equated with something small or overlooked. In Corinthians, Paul says that God's strength is perfected in our weakness. Yet so often we act like weakness is something to be ashamed of, to try to compensate for, to try to pretend it isn't there. We so often feel shame about our lack, when in fact, our lack is what God wants from us. Because when all we have is strength and virtue and self-sufficiency, we actually become functional atheists, possibly believing that, yes, God exists, but not acting as though it's really true because, you know, we totally got this. So maybe the disciples like us needed to be reminded that even when we do not have what is needed is still at hand. It's just going to come from God, or it's going to come from others, because this is God's economy, and that's just how it works. What you have is enough, because it's never all there is. Over 6 years ago in the drop-in, which is now called the Common Table, we were at a juncture with the issue of hiring a security person. The program had continued to grow, and we were doing the important work of feeding people 5 times a day. 5 days a week, sorry. For a long time previously, there was a security person at the door. And I actually didn't know this when I was hired. I had soon learned that that security person had just gone away for a short time, and the plan was to have them come back. The idea of a security person in the drop-in made me very uncomfortable. Now, to an outsider, perhaps that reaction sounds weird, since a lot of us equate security people with being safe. But having the security at the door in this space seemed to set a clashing tone. It assumed that those entering were violent and in need of surveillance. It fostered an environment of suspicion. I couldn't bring myself to go this route, even though we were in need of some sort of action. But there just had to be a healthier way forward. So what would this new way be? And how would we prioritize safety? I racked my brain and I prayed and I talked to the community. And all I kept coming back to was posters on the tables. Yes, you heard that right, posters on the tables. It doesn't appear to connect, I know. But something in me knew that what we really need to figure out was less about talking about security and more about changing a culture. So the posters started. They were nothing groundbreaking, just friendly and informative signs with announcements about new things happening in the drop-in, community activities, workshops, resources, and volunteer opportunities for all. I was reminded several times those days by a couple of well-meaning volunteers that it was just so comforting having a big, strong man at the door. It's hard to bite your tongue when you're an animated woman, let me tell you. Then one day, a few weeks after our poster extravaganza, a community participant came up to me and said, "The signs on the tables, they are working. I can see it." He didn't clarify much and he didn't have to. We both understood. He then added, "And also, I'd like to volunteer." And to this day, this man remains an integral part of our volunteer team, along with countless others from the drop-in. So what was really happening here was that we were entering into a space of more vulnerability with our community. And they were showing up. And here's the real key. We needed them to show up. For this space to be safe, to be peaceful, to grow and to thrive, we really truly needed each other. What a security person did is made it so that we didn't really need each other all that much. We had the muscle at the door, and that was the default for any conflict resolution, plain and simple. So what these posters did was they simply informed the community that not only do we have things to offer them, but they have things to offer us that are just as valuable. The announcements and invitations on the posters emphasized very simply that we are in this together. Volunteers that have been with us for over these last few years will often talk about the cultural shift that they have seen take place ever so slowly. Instead of security, we now have friendly resource staff, outreach volunteers, and participants proactively diffusing conflicts and watching out for each other. And of course, we surely have our days of conflict and tension. And sometimes, days and days and days. But when you take a step back, you can feel it. We are vulnerable together, and it has become our greatest strength. Jesus wanted the disciples to see that. For the miracle of everyone to eat that day, the disciples had to lean on the crowd, and the crowd had to lean on each other. And just to clarify again, this isn't actually about needing each other's talents and skills. Yes, of course, those are helpful, and yes, of course, we are a great community because of all of our talents. But guess what? We are worthy and valued with or without our special talents and skill just the same. We are worthy and valued because we are broken and screwed up people, but we just keep showing up anyways, scars and quirks and all. I remember hearing Sherry DeNovo tell the story of the time she was a priest in the Hyde Park area. She had inherited a parish that was headed for collapse and running out of funds very quickly. They had tried the conventional ways of doing things to save this church. They had sold some land, they had invested, they fundraised, but it just wasn't enough. So at a staff meeting, she recalled looking at the budget and realizing there was about 6 weeks left of funding for this church to remain open with the lights on. And after that point, they would be closing down. They decided that if they were going to go, they wanted to go out caring for the poorest in their midst. So in those final weeks, they opened their doors to those sleeping on the street, they put out snacks, and they just connected and they resourced as best they could. Lo and behold, this vulnerable move actually sparked something in the community. A financial gift came in to support the outreach. The neighbors became curious and engaged. What was destined to be their last days were in fact the days that breathed new life into that parish. And instead of closing, the church gained strength and continues to thrive to this day with outreach at its core. Our passage in Ephesians this week is a letter from Paul. He says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled of all the fullness of God." This power together with all God's people being spoken of here, this isn't that kind of phony power talked about in books like The Art of the Deal. This is vulnerable, transformational power. This past week has been a very hard one for us in Toronto. There has been yet another horrific tragedy, a shooting that killed 3 people, injured several others, and put a knife through the heart of our city. If our vulnerability is our strength, what does that look like in the wake of a gut-wrenching tragedy like this? I think I have seen some glimpses of this in the past few days. A beautiful interfaith community vigil, space to listen to the stories of families' grief and anger and sorrow, visual memorials covered in flowers and words of peace, raw and authentic discussions about mental health supports and lack thereof. We are vulnerable when we cry for our neighbors, even when, perhaps especially when, they are strangers. We are vulnerable when we play at the park and walk down our street instead of hiding indoors for fear of the unknown. We are vulnerable when we engage with someone who is isolated and angry and overwhelmed. We are vulnerable when we continue to love ourselves and each other, to continue to be seen and keep showing up, even when fear tries to trick us into thinking it has the final word. These courageous acts are the only way forward, the only way we can begin to grasp together how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ. The feeding of the 5,000 is about food. It is about having enough. It is about sharing with each other. And it's also about the important lesson that the disciples were taught in that moment when they realized they were broken and Jesus wanted to feed everybody anyways. God always makes herself known in the seemingly insignificant, a fish, a loaf of bread. But if we're paying attention, that's where the miracles are. That's when we are fed, and that's when love transcends and transforms and heals. Amen.